Dr. Donna Burton from the University of South Florida College of Behavioral and Community Sciences. And I had to throw the doctor in. For those of us in academia here, when we get our PhDs, we want to celebrate a little bit. So congratulations, Dr. Burton. She serves as assistant research professor. And I'm going to let her give her talk on school mental health.
From the time that I wrote the abstract for APHA and today, the PhD was conferred. So that's a big change. And if you want to turn your programs and just write that in where my name is, that'd be fun. That'd be great. So it does become a big deal, you know, in terms of, you know, you work 5-6 years and then it's done and it's nirvana on the other side. So I'm celebrating. So it was an August graduation, so I'm still a little high. So I want to talk a little bit about school mental health services integration. In addition to being, can you hear me okay from over here? Tell me with these notes. In addition to being an assistant research professor, I'm also the project director for the Institute for Translational Research in Adolescent Behavioral Health, which is a NIDA-funded grant program which trains graduate students as institute scholars toward the special set of research skills needed for implementation science. So we're very invested in helping to translate effective or best practices into community settings, and we're sort of working to enhance those academic and research partnerships with community providers. I have no financial relationships to disclose. So I want to talk a little bit about our study on school mental health services integration. First, we know when we look at the magnitude of the problem, 20% of children meet criteria for mental disorders that cause impairment in day-to-day living. And by impairment, we mean some type of impairment in the way the routine daily functioning of their lives, the way they want to or are expected to perform or live or achieve and so on and so forth. Despite this grand number of 20% of children, gaps in service delivery tell us that fewer than a third receive the services they need. And if we look at barriers to accessing services, we recognize a long-standing problem of barriers, including financial, structural, attitudinal barriers, and trends. Despite these barriers, trends show that efforts are expanding to offer services where children are located, such as schools, homes, and communities. Schools, in essence, are de facto providers of mental health services to children. Of those children who do receive mental health services, most receive them at school. Schools are convenient, accessible, and structurally equipped to serve children and next to families. Schools hold the most appreciable influence over child development. We also recognize the challenges of this. Schools are not traditionally arranged or organized toward mental health services delivery. And though school-based mental health innovations are occurring at an increasing rate, we lack a unifying framework for comprehensively or wholly integrating mental health services into schools. Let's face it, schools are not community mental health centers, even though they're being called upon to be exactly that. School-based mental health is connecting to the evidence-based more often, but evidence-based practices are still underutilized in schools. A little bit about the purpose of the study and my research questions. Actually, this is an abbreviated form of the actual dissertation. I should also recognize Dr. Tom Massey, who's my division director in the College of Behavioral and Community Sciences and the Department of Child and Family Studies, who has also brought me onto this research and was also on my committee. And he called this session, this presentation, the last gasp of my dissertation. So that's kind of what it is, although we're working on getting some of these published as articles. So our aims were to describe indicators of school mental health integration preparedness. And by indicators, we looked at things like role identification, willingness to engage in tasks related to school mental health implementation, and those things that facilitate implementation. We also wanted to investigate the utility of a modified version of the evidence-based practice attitude scale, which is Greg Aaron's scale, specifically a 15-item scale that looks at attitudes of practitioners toward adopting or implementing evidence-based practices. And we also wanted to better understand what indicators of readiness
What are the indicators of readiness to adopt evidence-based practice among multiple levels of school staff? And the specific research questions under those aims, if we want to look at indicators of mental health integration preparedness, we want to take it to the next step, next level, and say, are there significant differences in role adoption by professional group? Were there differences among professional groups in their willingness to engage in the tasks of school mental health integration? And how did the perception of facilitators vary by professional group? When I say by, how do they vary, and I am going to continue to talk about by professional group, the survey was uniquely designed to query multiple levels of participants simultaneously. So there ends up kind of being a special skill for developing surveys where you can actually ask the same set of questions to multiple levels of staff. And I'll talk about the professionals within the school that we gave the survey to. But when you construct a survey for multiple levels of participants, obviously questions have to be mutually understood among those levels, among those groups, and they have to be applicable and appropriate. So for example, if we're doing it, we can't gear our questions just for what happens in the classroom, for example, because that would apply to teachers, but not to necessarily all other groups. To investigate the utility of the evidence-based practice attitude scale for use with school staff, we modified it slightly, replaced words like clients with the term students. I want to make sure I'm not running over here. And we looked at things like specifically saying in this setting or that setting, saying schools and using students instead of the term clients. And then looking at significant differences in outcomes on the evidence-based practice scale by professional group. And also, to better understand indicators of readiness to adopt evidence-based practice among those school staff, and which variables from the survey, school mental health services integration survey, which variables are associated with higher outcomes on the EBPAS. Both of these methods of data analysis are equally effective, by the way. So the School Mental Health Services Integration Survey was part of a larger project conducted on behalf of Hillsborough County Public Schools. Hillsborough County is Tampa, Florida. It's the 14th largest school district in the nation. For example, we selected a random selection of teachers. We capped it at 150 because there are 15,000 teachers in Hillsborough County School District. The survey reflects Hillsborough County Public School dedication to research and policy development efforts, and it's modeled after similar research on planning for mental health services delivery and school-based mental health. In 2007, Hillsborough County received a Department of Education grant specifically for enhancement of school mental health, and their primary objective was to establish a planning and communications network among schools, community-based mental health providers, Department of Juvenile Justice, family organizations, and so on. And in 2010, they received a second award under the same grant mechanism through Department of Education. And the primary objective in the second round was to increase student access to quality mental health services within the school. And our role was to do the program evaluation and also to establish the School Mental Health Services Integration Survey as a way of providing feedback to how things were working for the school district. So I will say, when you think about these outcomes, and I'll talk pretty positively about the outcomes. I was happy about kind of some of the things we found. But also remember, it's in a school district that was really readying itself and preparing itself for school mental health services integration. And so that might not be the same in all school districts. And again, as I mentioned, this represents a unique survey design in which multiple levels of school personnel were queried simultaneously. The survey domains included organization, location, asking opinions about where and how services should be delivered, role identification, what kinds of tasks and jobs do they actually do, and their extent of willingness to adopt other responsibilities. This is what we do, but this is what I do in my role, but this is what I'm willing to do. Their perceptions on facilitators, what kinds of things help the process along. And, of course, their attitudes toward evidence-based practice, and the evidence-based practice scale was appended on to the end of the survey. So this research focuses on those middle four those middle four bullets. And they were all scored on a 5-point Likert scale from strongly agree to strongly disagree. The survey was conducted by email through appropriate email lists to a single level multi-stage emailing protocol, and it was facilitated by the supervisor of school social work. Participants were provided with a link to a Qualtrics survey. And these are the professional staff that we gave the survey to: principals and assistant principals, teachers, a random sample of those 15,000, so we had 150 teachers, guidance counselors, social workers, school psychologists, school resource officers, and school health staff. So you can see we had a very wide range of professional groups. Participation was voluntary. And this is what we started out with. We started out with 2,044 surveys, and we received back 1,040 responses. Of those, 260 did not complete items beyond preliminary demographics, just like, this is my name and this is the school. So those were eliminated from the data set. And then there were another 45 who completed less than 20%. They may have got through the first 5 or 10 questions, and then they stopped, and so those were deleted as well. There were 25 respondents who selected the other category when we asked for professional group belongingness. We tried to reclassify those since we were looking specifically for between group differences. We were able to reclassify 20 of them, and there were 5 that could not be reclassified. And by reclassified, I meant I looked at their written response along with 3 other people, including 2 from the school, from Hillsborough County Public Schools, and if we could classify them by what they wrote into one of those 6-7 groups, then we did that. So the sample size of 730 represents a response rate of about 36%. So you can see how the numbers are represented here across professional groups. The largest group was principals and assistant principals. The most compliant group was school resource officers with 100% completing the survey. I don't know what to attribute that to other than school resource officers may be compliant people. I don't know. Although I will say when I was actually following up on the numbers, I called these departments to say, do you recall, when we were putting the numbers together, I was asking them some questions about their response rate. And the director of security at the school, I heard him in the background say to the administrative assistant, tell her it was all of them. Every single one responded. So I have a feeling there may have been a little bit of emphasis on the importance of completing the survey among the resource staff. And so you can kind of see there are lots of guidance counselors and school psychologists working in Hillsborough County. And we had fairly decent response rates, although in some areas they were a little low. School health staff had a low response rate, and I'll talk about that a little bit later, about the importance of that. So results. The first thing we did was exploratory factor analysis on 3 scales on the survey to look at how these, we wanted our indicators. I keep talking about indicators of school mental health readiness. So we looked at the section on role identification. The first factor, it was a 2-factor solution, a provider role and a facilitator role. The role identification domain included things like I'm someone who helps develop, deliver interventions. I'm someone who works toward the development of a system for provision of services. I provide services to students directly. I facilitate student access or help with scheduling and those kinds of things. So again, it was a 2-factor solution with those factors being a provider role and a facilitator role. The second scale we looked at was willingness, and actually the scale turned out to be a 1-factor solution. So there was just 1 factor identified in that scale, and it was, again, these are my tasks, this is what I do on a daily basis, but this is what I would be willing to do if I were asked to do these things on behalf of school mental health services. And then finally, implementation facilitators. There was a survey section of about, 30 items. And it ended up as a 3-factor solution, and based on what those facilitators stood for, teamwork among professionals, the importance of training, encouragement and support from administrators, shared responsibilities, and so forth, we label those overall administrative structure, individual support, meaning I have the training I need and I have, communication with the right people, and then shared professional responsibility, which is about teamwork and collaboration among those groups. So which professional groups adopt which roles? Which are providers and which are facilitators? Guidance counselors, social workers, and psychologists all identify themselves as service providers, which we would expect. Principals and assistant principals as a group identified or endorsed the facilitator role. And there were three groups, teachers, school resource officers, and school health, that did not identify one role more strongly than the other. It wasn't that they didn't identify a role. It was that they equally identified both roles. So there was no clear preference for one or the other. We look at level of willingness. The first group at the top, social workers and school psychologists, represent the high scores in terms of willingness. And this was based on results of ANOVA and post-hoc Tukey tests to look at between group differences. Guidance counselors were in the middle, and they were uniquely in the middle, different from higher scores and different from low scores. These three groups at the bottom, teachers, school resource officers, and school health, were the lower scorers, similar to each other but different from the other groups. And principals were similar to one of the lower scoring groups, school health, in terms of no significant difference, but they, again, were kind of unique and sort of like the mid-range. And again, this is on willingness, answering questions about willingness to engage in school mental health services integration. Now, one last part, the role of the perception of facilitators to mental health services integration. I've got 15 here. No? Okay. So if we look at facilitators, again, on overall administrative structure, psychologists and school resource officers, school staff were mid-range scorers. They were significantly different from lower groups. They were not significantly different from higher scores. Social workers here were similar to higher scoring groups, but not significantly different from mid-range. And again, the red, the blue, the green just tell you where these groups scored in terms of understanding or endorsing these as facilitators to mental health services integration. I'm not going to go through all of these since I'm running short on time. And finally, the evidence-based practice attitude scale. Social workers and psychologists were the higher scorers in terms of endorsing evidence-based practice attitudes. And in the mid-range, we have these four groups. And then in the lower range, we have school resource officers and school health. There was not a significant difference between teachers and social workers in terms of social workers being higher scorers. And again, I'll mention that. And again, in the interest of time, the multiple regression showed us that willingness was the strongest unique contributor to the outcome on the evidence-based practice skill. And I found this interesting because it wasn't just, hey, are you willing to have this at your school? It was willingness to engage in specific tasks associated with school mental health integration. And all groups said, yes, we're willing. Even among the lower scoring groups on willingness, which was teachers, we ran a test score using 3.0 as a neutral score. Teachers were significantly different from neutral, meaning no groups said, I'm not willing, or I'm neutral. They all said, I'm willing. It's just teachers were among the lower scorers. Also, shared professional responsibility had a unique contribution to the outcome on the evidence-based practice attitude scale, but much weaker than the willingness indicator. Generally, it was a successful effort in developing a survey to investigate readiness for school mental health integration. Constructs were identified through the exploratory factor analysis, strong reliability on most factors, and there were significant between-group differences for these professional groups. The professional groups in Hillsborough County schools do endorse adoption of roles related to mental health integration. As we would expect, administrators are facilitator roles, and guidance counselors and social workers and psychologists endorse a provider role. The ones that did not endorse a role, as I said, it wasn't that they said, we do nothing. It's just there wasn't a strong difference between one role or the other. And in most domains, psychologists and social workers were the high scorers. school resource officers and school health with the lower scores. A word about teachers. As you know, teachers are being called upon to be ready and to be available and to be helpers in the process of school mental health services integration. So even though teachers were lower scores in some domain, I think that there was importance in saying teachers were similar to the higher scores on the evidence-based practice attitude scale. And the reason that's important for this school district is because there may be a signal for readiness for expanding interventions that occur in the classroom because teachers were similar to higher scores on the evidence-based practice attitude scale outcomes. That's probably it for the most relevant findings, and I can answer questions now or I can wait until the end.